Thank you, choir, and Laura, thank you. That's a beautiful song. During this Advent season, we have been talking about some of our favorite carols and the significance that they hold for us. Personally, I found this quite helpful because a lot of the Christmas carols we sing are so familiar to us that we may not pay attention to the words that we're singing. I think it's good to slow down and reflect on those words. Up to this point, we've looked at three really good carols: O Come, Emmanuel, Little Town of Bethlehem, and Joy to the World. I am curious, what is your favorite carol? Is it one of the hymns that I've included in this sermon series? Or do you prefer something along the lines of Silent Night, The First Noel, or Away in the Manger? You can tell me after the service. I don't think you can go wrong with any of the hymns that I've listed. They're all classics. However, I might question your judgment if you were to tell me that your favorite carol is In the Bleak Midwinter. That just seems kind of depressing to me, but if that's your favorite one, I'll respect it. But today we turn to a different carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll examine its connection to Luke chapter 2. Now, this song may very well be one of your favorites. It's in my top five or six. The words of this carol were written by Charles Wesley. He was the younger brother of John Wesley, and together they helped form the Methodist Church in the 18th century. John was an organizer, and he was known as a preacher. Charles did some preaching of his own, but he preferred writing about the Christian faith in poetry and in song. He was primarily known for the hymns that he wrote, and during his lifetime he wrote over 6,000 hymns. Can you believe how many songs that is? His carol, of course, is one of the better known, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it's based on the words that are sung by a choir of angels who startled some shepherds in a field outside of Bethlehem. Now, one of those angels had a solo part, whom Luke quotes as saying, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And then a little later, a chorus of angels joins in, and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Now, this announcement is known as the Gloria, and it's been the foundation for many popular carols, including Gloria in Excelsis Deo and Angels We Have Heard on High. Now, Wesley published his carol in 1739 in a book called Hymns and Sacred Poems. Now, the original version, though, was known by a different name. It was known as Hark How All the Welkin Rings, and that comes from the original first verse of this hymn, which goes, "Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today." Now, to my ear, that verse sounds a little off, particularly the part involving the word welkin. What on earth does welkin mean? It's not a part of my regular vocabulary. So I had to do some research this past week, and I discovered that it's an old English word that can refer to the sky or to the space that contains all the stars in the heavens. And so by using the word welkin, Wesley was attempting to communicate the message that the whole universe was ringing with the news of the birth of the world's long-awaited king. Of course, this verse is quite different from the one that we're used to singing. The carol that we're accustomed to singing, the one that we love to sing, is actually the result of an unauthorized edit by one of Charles Wesley's friends, a man named George Whitefield. Whitefield didn't like that first verse, so he changed it to "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." Now, writers, especially ones that I've known, tend to be really protective of their words, and Wesley was no different. In fact, he was furious that his friend made this change without his authorization. He was certainly angry that it was done without his permission. He was also angry because it made this hymn a little less biblical. See, Wesley pointed out that the angels in verse 13 don't sing, they say. And the glory given by the angels is to God in the highest heaven. That's what the scripture says. Glory to the newborn king is true, but it veered away from the words of Luke chapter 2. See, the wording that Wesley originally chose for this verse was intended to express the message that the whole creation, both heaven and earth, gave glory to God's newborn son, which is the message that we do find in the Bible. Now, for Wesley and for Luke, the birth of Jesus is a sign of heaven and earth coming together, which brings peace and reconciliation between God and humanity. It's an announcement of God's plan for the world, a plan that began in Genesis when the Lord sought to bless a broken world through a shepherd named Abraham. Abraham and his family would go on to become the nation of Israel, and their mission was to be a light to other nations where they would draw people to God. And yet, when we look at the whole story of Scripture, we see that Israel struggled with this mission. Israel's own name speaks to this. The name Israel literally means wrestling with God. And Israel did this, and did this hard at times. They lived in sinful ways, and sometimes these ways were in direct opposition to God. Israel sinned by following other gods and corrupt kings, and that eventually led to their exile, away from the land that God had promised them. Now, over time, some of these exiles eventually returned to Israel. Though many people in the first century, at the time of Jesus' birth, believed that Israel was still in exile because they were being ruled and dominated by a foreign power. Luke explains that when Jesus was born, Rome was in control, and Caesar Augustus was the emperor. Now, Augustus considered himself to be a son of God and a prince of peace. Those phrases, direct phrases, appear alongside his face on the coins that he minted. However, his divinity was self-proclaimed, and his idea of peace involved killing all of Rome's enemies. In fact, this was the way of every emperor. And yet, when a new emperor came to the throne, his messengers proclaimed it to be good news to the Roman world. Now, I think we should recognize that it was only good news for those in power. For others, like Israel, it just meant that there would be a new emperor who would try to dominate them, just like the last one. Israel knew that true good news is different from this. They knew that this good news would only come from God's true king, the Messiah, who would pave the way for God to save them from this kind of oppression and domination. And this good news became a reality when an angel of the Lord came to a group of shepherds and proclaimed in verse 10, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Now, God has promised to return to his people, and now it was happening, but in a way that no one expected. See, God was not returning as a conquering hero or a mighty warrior who would destroy all of Israel's enemies. Instead, God was coming as a dirt poor baby, wrapped in cloths and born in a barn in a little out-of-the-way town called Bethlehem. And yet this is why the whole creation, the whole welkin, as Wesley put it in his first version, to celebrate this good news. See, in the birth of Jesus, we have a glimpse of heaven and earth coming together as God had intended from the very beginning. God was coming to dwell with his people and to redeem them and save them. The long-awaited Messiah, the true King, was the Lord himself wrapped in swaddling clothes. And what's so remarkable about this is that tiny little baby was both fully human and fully divine. And this is why the angels praise God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors," which Wesley echoed in his carol with the words, "Peace on earth and mercy mild." This peace, though, is a very different kind of peace from the kind of peace that Caesar Augustus, or for that matter, any worldly power might offer. This is a peace that isn't offered to just some people, but to all whom God favors. See, God shows no partiality. God offers grace to everyone who chooses to follow the one who was born in that barn in Bethlehem long, long ago. Through Jesus, God is working to heal the brokenness of our world. Through Jesus, God has come to save us from our sins, to renew creation, and to restore the peace of God's good world. God's mission of redeeming this world became a reality in the manger in Bethlehem. And Wesley tried to capture this idea where he says, "God and sinners reconciled." Now, these words really echo the words of the Apostle Paul, who saw the arrival of Jesus, including his birth, death, and resurrection, as the means by which God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Those are words from 2 Corinthians 5:19. See, for Paul, the birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise of peace, a promise that was given to Abraham long ago and then again to those shepherds outside Bethlehem. Because of Jesus, heaven and earth are at peace with one another. And that good news is worth celebrating and singing. Paul even says that this good news needs to be shared often. He speaks of it as the ministry of reconciliation. This is at the heart of the Christian mission. See, the mission that God gives to each of us is to proclaim God's peace, God's grace, and God's new creation to the whole world. And this is good news for every one of us. And it should lead us to sing and to celebrate. And in the words of our carol, "Joyful all ye nations raise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." Now this carol certainly helps us rejoice in what God has done for us, which Wesley brings together in the line that goes, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." This is the best message that we can preach and sing in the Christmas season. We have been reconciled to God. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. And this happens through faith, by trusting in Jesus. Now, if you feel distant from God, if you feel like something in your life isn't right, then I encourage you to seek out the peace of Christ, because this peace can overcome any sin that is hounding you. This peace can overcome whatever old life you might be struggling with. And this peace can overcome those times when you feel like you have no peace, no peace of heart or mind or body or soul. Now, what I'd like you to take away from all of this is really quite simple. And it's this: God has stepped toward us in Jesus. Now, will you step toward God? Will you be reconciled with the Lord? Now, the whole creation It's singing praises to the Lord for what God has done by coming to us in person through Jesus Christ. And we can respond by moving forward toward God and celebrating the fact that God and sinners are indeed reconciled. For this we should celebrate. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we rejoice in what you have done in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you were born like us. You walked this earth like us. And you've risen from the dead so that we might be reconciled with you. We sometimes lose sight of what you have done, and we forget that you are with us. Lord, remind us that we do not walk this journey alone, but that you are here for us. Help us to trust you, to move closer to you, and to know the deep joy and peace that comes through faith in you. It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We will close our service by singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And as we sing, I'll be here at the front of the sanctuary to receive any who come forward. This is a time to make decisions about how God is leading you in life. Perhaps you would like to join this church, or perhaps you feel a call to a particular kind of ministry, or you may want to accept Christ into your heart and make this the day that you begin your own journey of faith. This is a time for decisions. I'll be here to meet with you and pray with you at the front if you'd like to come forward. But let's stand now and sing our carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.